We have begun our celebration of the 12 days of Christmas. The season of Christmastide began on Christmas Eve and continues until the Feast of the Epiphany on January 6th. Throughout this season, our scripture readings focus on the first advent of Jesus, when Jesus came among us as the baby of Bethlehem. On Christmas Eve, we heard what is likely the most familiar Christmas story, the account from the Gospel according to Luke. And it's a story that has, in its way, seeped into the popular images and understanding of Christmas. When you think about the Christmas story, I suspect most of us think about this account, which has its shepherds in a field at night, keeping watch over their sheep. A chorus of angels who appear in the night sky to the shepherds and proclaim the birth of the Savior. Of Mary and Joseph and the Holy Child in a stable because there was no room at the inn. And those animals who are gathered there around them. This account, as I say, is likely what we commonly think of as the Christmas story, and we see it around us. We see it on Christmas cards. I've seen representations on social media. For many of us, it also evokes strong memories and emotions. I fear, though, that Luke's account of the birth of Jesus can perhaps be so familiar that we may struggle to see it with fresh eyes, or grasp a new understanding of its meaning. And so it may be that this morning we are given a gift in reading the prologue to the Gospel according to John. For these words offer another reflection on the birth of Jesus. And perhaps this passage can provide us a deeper, a more profound understanding of the mystery of the Incarnation. Scholars tell us that the words of this prologue are perhaps an early Christian hymn. Certainly its language is lofty, is beautiful. These words are the very opening of John's Gospel, and they articulate where the longed-for Messiah comes from, his origin, his history. It is, in effect, John's own Christmas story, though it could not be more different from Luke's. It's short on those kinds of strong emotions that grab our imagination, that we have an emotional response to. And instead, it's full of theology informed by Greek philosophy. The soaring language of this prologue's words lift our hearts and our minds, our spirits, to things eternal, to the deeper meaning of God come among us in the child of Bethlehem. John tells us that in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God from before time. In fact, the Word is God. Everything that exists came into being through the Word. These words of John echo that first creation account at the very beginning of the Bible in the book of Genesis. In Genesis, God speaks the entire creation into being, and after creating each part of creation, pronounces everything that God made as good. John offers a new creation account, an account of the creation recreated, of the creation made, loved, and restored by God. In the Incarnation, God comes to dwell with humanity in the person of Jesus, entering right into human existence in flesh and blood. The creator of all the universe becomes a little baby, that most helpless and vulnerable of creatures. And God does this to bring humanity, to bring all of creation to new life. In the Incarnation, God transforms creation into a new creation, one redeemed and set right according to God's purposes. God stoops to put on human flesh so that humanity might be lifted to the divine life. God puts on humanity that humanity might then be clothed in divinity. God comes to us in the baby of Bethlehem so that we might be lifted above the evil and sin of this world into the very heart of God. God even comes to lift us above death itself, setting us free forever to live the divine life of the Trinity, to live that divine life for eternity. In the Gospel today, St. John the Evangelist tells us that God enters the world as the light. This light is life, a light that darkness cannot overcome, cannot even dim, let alone extinguish. This light is stronger than the forces of evil and wickedness of this world, stronger than the powers of death. These words are poignant for us who live in the Northern Hemisphere, for the celebration of Christmas comes at the start of winter, at the darkest and the coldest time of the year. Light is scarce, the days are short, and we celebrate Christmas just after the winter solstice, just as the days begin to lengthen imperceptibly, yet surely, begin to lengthen bit by bit. Each day there's a little more daylight than the day before. As the light of creation begins to grow, we celebrate the coming of the light of God into the darkness of our world and our lives. For us here at the Redeemer, each Christmastide we hang the lighted star of Bethlehem from a tree in our churchyard. It is, at least for me, a wonderful symbol of this season. For the 12 days of Christmas, it reminds all who see it of the hope and the promise of the light of God come into the world. In this time, this dark time of pandemic, we need the promise of this light, the hope of this light, perhaps more than ever. This star reminds us of the beacon that is God's light, a light that enters the fullness of human existence, a light that comes into the heart of everything that it means to be human, both the joys as well as the sorrows, and giving meaning to it all and offering us comfort, that abiding presence of God in every bit of our lives. Our lighted star is a reminder to the neighborhood of the light come to us in this holy season. The prologue of John tells us that the light shines in the darkness of our world, signaling that God ushers in a new age, an age in which the old order is done away with. In this age, the status quo ends, suffering and alienation are ended, the power of money and military might fade, injustice is overturned. The poor, the hungry, and the oppressed find hope in the promise of God's reign. And the rich are freed from slavery to their wealth, their privilege, their material goods. This light come into the world is the Word become incarnate, and as followers of Jesus, we walk by this light. This light illumines our path, shining to all places of violence, hatred, and division, offering the love, compassion, and healing of God. We are invited by the child of Bethlehem to walk in this light always, reflecting this light by our words and our deeds. This world so very much needs the light of Christ. Our world is full of so much suffering, illness, and death. There is so much hatred, brokenness, and estrangement. The light of God's love is sorely needed now. William Law was a priest in the Church of England who lived from 1686 to 1761. And in his book, The Spirit of Prayer, he focuses on the profound love of God as a way of inviting his readers to live holy lives. In speaking of the birth of Jesus, he observes that Jesus is born to raise us from the darkness of sin and death, the darkness of this world, into the light of life. He writes, and I quote, "For this holy Jesus that is to be formed in you, that is to be the Savior and new life of your soul, that is to raise you out of the darkness of death into the light of life, and give you power to become a child of God, is already within you, living, stirring, calling, knocking at the door of your heart, and wanting nothing but your own faith and goodwill to have as real a birth and form in you as he had in the Virgin Mary. Unquote. Jesus comes to us desiring to be born in our hearts and lives, just as he was born of Mary. Jesus comes bringing the eternal light that leads us from the darkness of death into the divine light of God. Law assures us God is already within us and at work. We simply need to open ourselves to God, seeking Jesus to be born anew in us, allowing ourselves to live by the divine light and life already planted within us as beloved children of God, as people created in God's image. Law goes on to say, and I quote, "Poor sinner, consider the treasure you have within yourself. The Savior of the world, the eternal Word of God, lies hidden in you as a spark of the divine nature, which is to overcome sin and death and hell within you, and generate the life of heaven again in your soul. Turn to your heart, and your heart will find its Savior, its God within itself. Seek for God in your heart, and you will never seek in vain." Unquote. When the eternal Word becomes incarnate in the baby of Bethlehem, humanity is forever changed. By his birth, the world is forever changed. In this child, humanity is lifted to the fullness of life that God desires for all of us. We are invited to share life with God, to share life with the one who comes to us in love, who seeks to be born in us, to dwell with us, to be in close, intimate relationship with us, all that we might have life with God for eternity. In our first lesson today, the prophet Isaiah offers an image of our new life in God through the incarnation. Isaiah tells us that God clothes the people with garments of salvation, covering us with the robe of righteousness. God's people become a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem in the hand of our God. Through the incarnation of the eternal Word, the creation is made new. The earth brings forth shoots, a garden springs up. When God comes among us, all things are made new. All things become a new creation. Creation is renewed and restored. New life bursts forth and flourishes. God comes among us in the person of Jesus to lead us into the new life, into the divine life of God. In this divine life, all of creation is pronounced good, and all people beloved of God. And so in this Christmastide, let us claim our high calling. Let us always walk by the light of God, reflecting the light of God's love to all people by living as beloved children of God, living as we were created to be. May we always reflect the light of God by loving others just as God loves us. Amen.